Acupuncture in the mainstream. What can it do? Acupuncture has gone from being considered a more fringe technique to a widely accepted and practiced method of addressing physical problems. This traditional Chinese medical practice of inserting needles in the skin at strategic points in the body is most often used to treat pain, but it has been embraced more recently for everything from anxiety to weight loss. In Maine, several health insurance carriers now cover acupuncture, and everything from veterans clinics to the Dempsey Center offer it. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Despite its acceptance, acupuncture remains controversial, and many are skeptical. We'll discuss how acupuncture works, what health problems it can treat, and what the latest research shows. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. From the Maine Public Radio Studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Intentionally sticking needles into your body may be a strange idea to some, but many have embraced this treatment for all kinds of ailments. Today, we are talking about the growing popularity of acupuncture, how it works, what it is often used for, and when to take caution. With me in our studio, Chris Haskell. She is a board-certified, licensed practitioner at Rocky Coast Family Acupuncture, and Toby Williamson, the owner and licensed acupuncturist and herbalist at Good Earth Eastern Medical Arts in Rockland. As always, we want to hear from you. Have you ever tried acupuncture? Have you ever wondered how it works? Did it help you? Email talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. If you do a Facebook post or send an email, please make it brief. We know we're going to have a lot of calls and questions during this hour. Thank you both for being here. Toby, many people are suspicious of acupuncture. Give us a little bit about the history and calm us down a little bit. I'm sure you have people come in saying, I kind of think I might be ready for trying this, but boy, it scares me.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me here, Jennifer. A lot of people think acupuncture is about energy and moving energy, which it is, but on a more base level, it's about moving blood. So I talk to people like it's a microsurgery. You know, you can put a needle into somebody and hit a place where the blood is stuck and let it move without having to cut through the skin. So it's very non-invasive. The needles don't hurt. They feel very strange sometimes. You get different sensations like a jolt of electricity maybe, or the movement of fluid, like that's the blood moving. So it's really nothing to be afraid of.
But people have this idea of the flow of energy because that's, I'll go to you, Chris. Isn't that how we used to talk about it?
Sure. For a lot of people, I think they do experiencing that sense of movement with energy. But I also think for some people, they will come try acupuncture. They're very nervous about it. And the first reaction they have is that it? You put the needle in, they have no awareness that it's gone in. They've thought about doing acupuncture for 5 years and didn't come in because they thought it would be painful. And then it's extremely uneventful, which is a great way to experience acupuncture if the receiving of the treatment is uneventful, but the symptom relief and what you gain from it is quite profound. And yes, I think that energy movement is a big part of it, but depending on what you're coming in for, that might not be how it exactly feels.
Well, let's talk about, you read about acupuncture, and it's recommended for all sorts of medical conditions that seem very unrelated. So let's talk about some of the more effective uses of acupuncture and maybe some of the not so effective. Pain. Pain is number one, yes?
Absolutely. Pain, that's what most people come to see me for, and it's very, very effective. People are amazed. They get up off the table, and that's how I got interested in it, actually. I had pain in my foot, and the practitioner put a needle right into the spot, and it wasn't comfortable, having a needle put into your foot, but it was amazing. I walked out of there without any pain at all, and from there I was hooked.
So one treatment, that's what's going to be one of my future questions, is this something that people get on a regular basis, like they might get a massage or physical therapy, but you're saying in one treatment, your pain went away.
Yeah, and what I've found, Chris, we may have some thoughts on this, but it has a lot to do with the blood quality. You know, if you're eating well, taking care of yourself, have low stress, you tend to heal very, very quickly. The body heals itself constantly.
Chris?
Yes, I think it also depends on what you're coming in for. So if you're coming in for arthritis, we're never making claims that we're going to cure you. However, perhaps you come in and with arthritis and you've been taking 6 to 10 ibuprofen a day, and now you're doing acupuncture once every other week, and you're taking maybe one a day. So it's often used as a maintenance for different kinds of issues, especially pain, that aren't necessarily ever going to get better. And they're not going to get better whether you see PT or a Western doctor, or you're using medications, you're working with managing them. So I have had that experience, absolutely, of treating someone where they're having acute pain and you get rid of it. It's very exciting and profound. But then you have someone else who says, I fell 10 years ago, I slipped a disc, and now I've been dealing with pain for a long time, and this is a new way that I want to approach that pain.
All right. So commonly, aid for pain, whether the pain is something that's chronic or acute, what are some other reasons someone might use acupuncture that are good reasons, and acupuncture can be effective?
Mm. Yeah, well, anxiety is one thing, insomnia. I'm helping somebody right now with advanced kidney disease. If you think about the blood and its connective tissue, it touches every single part of the body constantly. And so if you can improve the way that the blood moves through the body, it's sort of like moving, working with a construction site if the roads are blocked up. It's going to take forever to build the building. But if you can get the highways moving, get the cars and the trucks moving through, then the body's going to heal itself much quicker.
How does it help for anxiety?
Well, there's certain points that you can use that just relax the body. And my teacher always said, I had a teacher who taught as an apprentice to her, and she used to say the needles are 1%. There's so many more things that we do in the clinic to help people, and helping them relax and breathe deeply is huge. If you can help someone to change the way that they're breathing, they're going to heal themselves much quicker, and just that really reduces stress.
Chris,
I think I'm glad we're talking about anxiety, because over the years I do feel like people coming in for anxiety might almost be as much as they're coming in for pain. It's really increased. And it could be a mixture of cultural reasons and also being more accepting of admitting mental health issues. I think that one of the great things acupuncture does is we all understand there's a concept of the two different nervous systems, the rest and digest and the fight or flight. And a lot of times when we're going through our day and we are pulling off work and parenting and the normal kinds of things that you have to do when maybe you're overtired or things are going on that are stressful in your life, you're in a fight or flight aspect of your nervous system. And the longer you stay there, the more it starts to feel like this is life. I am in fight or flight always. My sense of being in rest and digest is sporadic. Acupuncture is great you put needles in, and I watch people, I'm sure you do too, 5-10 minutes in, they are in that nervous system. They are now resting and digesting, whether they were feeling like they believed in acupuncture or not. It takes them out of that space, and that's a big way that you can change someone's sense of anxiety.
Is it more effective for some people than others?
Yes, thankfully. I would say most people who walk through the door are going to have some positive effect, but certainly I've treated people over the years. I'm in my 17th year. I've treated people who it didn't work for, but it's usually, you were alluding to things maybe it's not good for. It's usually they're coming in for something that I know right from the beginning it's probably not going to work for, and I try to be upfront with them. Like, for instance, spinal stenosis. I was told way back when I was in school, you're never going to fix it. It's a very difficult problem, but I've had people stick around and it'll kind of help with things that the spinal stenosis is causing beyond just that pain. And I'm sure you could speak to also things that it doesn't quite work for.
Toby, what would you say? What would you not recommend acupuncture for?
Well, cancer. You can use it to help the body, deal with the chemotherapy and other things that you're dealing with. But, we can't say we can fix cancer. That's just not fair to tell people that. But as far as the spinal stenosis, I'd say, I've got one patient who comes in, he fell off a roof and broke his neck 10 years ago. And, he comes in and feels way better afterwards for several days. And, like you said, it is a maintenance thing when you get to that chronic level of pain. But
both of you in the studio here with me today are highly skilled, highly trained acupuncturists. Not everyone is. How does someone figure out where to go? How do you find someone who knows what he or she is doing?
Good question. So Go ahead.
My favorite thing to tell people is to go to, it's a website, nccaom.org, and that will give you access to all the acupuncturists in the country who went to acupuncture school and took acupuncture boards. Because depending on the state, there are other health practitioners that are allowed to take very limited amount of training. And this does not mean that that individual practitioner is not trying to do a wonderful job at what they're doing, but they can take very limited training as potentially an MD, a PT, or a chiropractor and say that they do acupuncture. However, some of those MDs, PTs, and chiropractors did go to acupuncture school, and the way you would know that is by going to that website, nccaom.org.
And we'll post that on our Facebook page and on our Maine Calling web page.
Can I just add one thing?
Yeah.
So another place you can look here in Maine is the Maine Acupuncture and Oriental, Maine Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine Association, MAAOM. That's got all the listings for the licensed acupuncturist here in Maine. So licensed acupuncturist is really what you're looking for.
Because if you're not going to a licensed acupuncturist, things can go wrong. I mean, people can. I heard about somebody who had part of her face was paralyzed.
Hmm. Yeah, things do go wrong. It's very rare. Yeah, pneumothorax is the thing you need to worry about the most. That's when someone puts a needle into your lung or into the lining around the lung and it collapses the lung. Very, very rare, but it can happen, and it's more likely to happen with someone who doesn't have the correct training.
Yes, I think the only times I've ever heard of that, to be honest with you, are people who had the limited training because you need to know what you're doing. It is very easy to make acupuncture extremely safe. You have to be pretty flagrantly not knowing what you're doing to cause someone a problem. So if you go to someone who's been trained, you should feel very comfortable. And also pick up on their office and their energy and, you know, if they seem like they have a very clean facility, all those things matter a lot, too.
All right. And what are the kinds, you know, we've been talking about, I think, what people picture with the very thin needles and the certain points and meridians on the body. But that's not the only kind of acupuncture you offer, right, Toby? Tell me what are maybe similar treatments that are related to acupuncture.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So moxibustion is one thing that's part of...
Moxibustion.
Moxibustion, yeah. It's the burning of an herb, Artemisia vulgaris, or mugwort. Kind of grows like a weed here in Maine in the springtime. But you can refine it and use it to burn it directly on the skin, which helps... it's a very blood-nourishing herb and blood-moving herb. So there's lots of different ways you can use that. One is burning directly on the skin, so you get the blood moving and blood nourishing parts go directly into the bloodstream through the skin. Other ways you can hold it above the skin or burn it on the top of the needle. Then there's cupping. You know, that's basically pulling stagnant blood out of the tissue deeper down up to the surface where the body can deal with it better. There's herbs.
Cindy was reminding me that during the Olympics we saw Michael Phelps with marks all
that's
over
right.
his body from cupping. So athletes using that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's quite a few NFL players now who are posting pictures of themselves using it for pain. And I do think Michael Phelps made it very popular, though, after that Olympics. I had people come in and ask me for the Michael Phelps treatment, which I'm sure would have bothered
some old...
Which
made them all better athletes, right?
Exactly.
I'm going to go to calls a little bit early because there's so many coming in. I'm going to go to Reggie in Westbrook. Hi, Reggie. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi, Red. Hi, Jennifer. First, I'd like to say I'm glad you're where you're at. It's really nice to listen to you every day.
Thank you.
I'm a disabled vet, post-traumatic stress, physical injuries. I've had three different acupuncturists here in the state of Maine with pretty much the same results with all of them, although only one of them really helped me in the beginning. Probably four visits in, I started noticing that I was getting some help from it, but it ended quickly. The cupping that he just mentioned, I couldn't remember the name of it. I've had that done. That was a pretty sensational experience. Again, almost instantaneous help, but very short-lived. And I understand what both of these folks are saying, that it is a maintenance thing. I'm going to be 70 next month, and it's definitely a maintenance with me, but I really, really am sensitive to needles, and so it was difficult for me to lay there, especially when a lot of the needles, the number of needles they were using on me, there were quite a few of them. I'm going to say there was an average of at least 10, maybe 12 at each visit, and sometimes more. Not to say that it won't work for people, because it did work a little. But overall, my experience was that the needles were very uncomfortable going into me. I'm a very, very thin man, so there's no beef on me that, you know, could absorb some of that stimulation, I guess the word would be, which would probably lower the pain of the needle going into me. But I really appreciate the fact that this is an alternative medicine. I used to own a health food store. I'm familiar with mugwort. I don't think I'd ever want anything burning on my skin, but then again, you do what you have to do.
So, Reggie, if I'm summarizing what you're saying, you're saying you've tried it and you're open to it and you realize it works for other people, but maybe not for you?
I'm definitely open to it. Otherwise, I would have never gone to a second and third one. And I think that, in fact, I know there are people out there that have had help from it, from conversation with these veterans that I see at Togas on a regular basis. So, and all three of my things were authorized by the VA, which took a long time for them to realize that this was something that would help the veterans. But again, my post-traumatic stress, my physical injuries and things, they just seem to not be taking advantage of this that I believe to be quite the science. It's just not one that is helping me.
Well, Reggie, good luck to you as you, work through your issues. And Toby, as you listen to Reggie's story, does his story resonate with you? Does this sound familiar?
Sure. I mean, everybody responds differently to the needles, you know, and I would suggest, it sounds like he already has tried several different practitioners, but that is key. You know, I think, Chris, you mentioned that. Just finding someone that you resonate with and that you match with is important. And there's much more than the needles, like I said. You know, it's about lifestyle and reducing stress on your own as you can, and eating well, exercising. All these things really, really do matter.
At Rocky Coast, we treat a lot of veterans, and it has been increasing over the last 10 years, the veterans that come and are able to see us. And I would say there is a wide array of effectiveness. Sometimes we're seeing people who have multiple major pain issues. Maybe they've had multiple surgeries. They might be on 10 to 15 different kinds of meds. Other people have some straightforward things like their knee hurts. And there's a variety of ways that people respond. I've definitely treated people like Reggie who it did not quite work, but they may have found something that shifted. My pain isn't shifting, but I actually am sleeping now. Mm-hmm. Or my pain isn't shifting, but I feel less agitated during the day about my pain. And those things for people in chronic pain can be very important small wins that you want to pay attention to if you are seeking ways to make your quality of life better.
Reggie, thank you so much for calling and sharing your story. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions. We're talking about acupuncture on Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Abbey Museum, Maine's only Smithsonian affiliate. Open every day with a full schedule of family-friendly programs and workshops, abbeymuseum.org. By Community Concepts, inviting you to help foster individuals and families to thrive with a donation today at ccimaine.org. And UMaine's Collins Center for the Arts with the Swingles Christmas, December 17th at 7 p.m. Tickets at collinscenterforthearts.com.
Many Democrats' views on Medicare for All are drawn from their personal experiences with the healthcare system.
Some insurances won't cover them. Some insurances will cover half.
The sensor that I have for my insulin pump is not covered by Medicare.
I don't have any healthcare at all.
The Divide on Medicare for All this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us from 4 to 6:30 here on Maine Public Radio. Our Maine Public Classical Holiday Stream is up and streaming full speed ahead, providing a quality, commercial-free, public radio-style 24/7 holiday online stream of the many wonderful holiday sounds. The Maine Public Classical Holiday Service is available on the Maine Public app or online at our website, mainepublic.org. Just click on Radio and listen live. It's one of the choices, or click on the Classical drop-down and enjoy.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the programming, Understanding Acupuncture and How It's Practiced in Maine. My guests are Toby Williamson, owner of Good Earth Eastern Medical Arts and licensed acupuncturist, and Chris Haskell, also a licensed acupuncturist with Rocky Coast Family Acupuncture. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Before the break, Toby, we had Reggie, who is a veteran, calling into the show, and you're keeping track of a bill that's going through Congress right now that would help more veterans, correct?
That's right. Yeah, it's H.R. 1182, or Acupuncture for Our Heroes Act. And Representative Shelley Pingree was one of the first co-sponsors. We're still looking for a Senate companion bill. Hopefully someone from Angus King's staff is listening, and hoping that Representative Golden will also co-sponsor it. But it would basically mandate the ability for every veteran to have access to a licensed acupuncturist.
On the line with us now, Dr. Helene Langevin. She is director of the National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health. Dr. Langevin, thanks so much for calling in.
It's a pleasure.
Most physicians don't dismiss acupuncture's ability to help some people, but they do caution people not to overestimate what it can do medically. What does the research show? I saw that you keep a blog and you keep track of the latest research. What do we know today?
Well, research on acupuncture, I would say, has really taken off in the last, 10, 15 years. There's been a large sort of volume now of studies that have over and over again shown some small but consistent benefits of acupuncture compared to other treatments, but also compared to a placebo, what we call sham acupuncture. And there's been a recent very large study that has compiled results that really definitely showed that acupuncture has effects that are measurable, that are consistent, and really we're starting to understand a little bit more about the mechanisms of this treatment. So gradually, I think we're accumulating an evidence base that is quite compelling.
Do you think the role of acupuncture in medicine will continue to grow?
I would certainly hope so. I mean, in this day and age, we need as many as possible options, non-pharmacological options, for example, for dealing with chronic pain, which is a huge problem, especially now with the opiate crisis. It's imperative that we have alternatives, right, to pharmacological treatments that we know are safe and effective. And acupuncture, I think, belongs in that category.
What advice do you have for people who might be considering acupuncture for the first time?
Well, to have an open mind, as one of the previous callers I was hearing says, you know, it's not necessarily a pleasant thing to think about having needles inserted, but it's part of the experience is not just the needles. There's also interaction with the acupuncturist that a lot of people find helpful. It can be very relaxing to be able to lay quietly after the needles have been inserted and relax and take a little bit of time to just kind of tune in. And a lot of people feel that by itself is beneficial. And the effects of acupuncture can persist. It's not just a temporary relief in pain that one experiences. There's been some studies show that the effects persist long after the treatments for months and maybe even years. So it's something that people should go into if they are interested with an open mind and see what can they benefit from it.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. That's Dr. Helene Langevin, the director of the National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health. So many questions from people wanting to know if acupuncture might work for them. This is from Michael. I do not have diabetes, but I do have a mild peripheral neuropathy in my feet. The pads of my toes on both feet feel like they're covered with thick cotton or leather. I guess it's mild numbness. To your guess, is this a familiar condition that might be treated by acupuncture?
Yes, absolutely. And there's another aspect of Chinese medicine or East Asian medicine, which is little known, but bloodletting sounds kind of scary, but you can just...
Sounds old-fashioned.
Right, yeah, exactly. But if you just let out 5 to 10 little drops of blood in the right place, that can really, really help that condition.
We'll go to Trish, who's calling from Cape Elizabeth. Hi, Trish, go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling because I wanted to mention how my husband, who is a nephrologist, a kidney doctor in town, and had had also trained in integrative medicine post all the specialty training, and then from there at the Arizona Institute with in Arizona, became very interested in acupuncture and has undergone and completed the Helms course, which is specifically for physicians to learn how to learn about acupuncture and be trained and certified. And he is finding it extremely helpful in his nephrology practice for patients bedside at the dialysis clinic and in his office, particularly for things like pain syndromes that where patients are really limited in the medicines they can take because of their declining renal function, for the PTSD associated with chronic illness. You know, that it also is very helpful for sleep disorders, restless leg syndrome, and other things that he's found, you know, he wasn't able to treat effectively with other means. So I would love to hear what your acupuncturists on the call think about the Helms Institute and where physicians can work effectively with the acupuncture community but also apply techniques bedside in their offices.
All right, Trish, thanks so much for calling. Go ahead.
I know a little bit about the Helms Institute from Dr. Liz Strawbridge, who I understand is calling in a little bit later. She might be better to answer that. But using her as an example, actually, I have treated a lot of physicians going through their residency here who've gone into integrative work. And it's been a wonderful relationship where there are conditions that they know on a deeper level, and I feel I gain a lot from them from understanding it with a Western medical approach. And then they understand that sometimes the way that I was taught acupuncture may have included some training that they didn't have that is perhaps a little deeper into the Chinese medicine paradigm and approach to things. So we can kind of jump off of each other and you know, I have been impressed compared to when I started doing acupuncture at how respectful that relationship is and how helpful it is ultimately to the client, the patient, which is what we really all want, is for the patient to feel better. And if that's through a doctor who makes them comfortable using acupuncture, then I think that that's a great way for them to be exposed to it.
Trish, thanks for your call. I think Bob in South Portland has a similar experience. Bob, go ahead. You're on Main Calling.
Thanks. Thank you for this program. Just wanted to share, I'm a physician assistant, 40 years of experience, family practice, emergency medicine, and I specialize in chronic pain, substance abuse, and a lot of psychiatric stuff. And both as a professional who is very comfortable referring people for acupuncture, I've had dozens and dozens, if not hundreds or more, since 1987 of acupuncture myself. And I know that your guests know this, but I really advocate for the reference to Chinese medicine, given the power of the more complete healing that comes with the very poetic and really brilliant Chinese medicine philosophy, with acupuncture being really kind of one-dimensional. And having worked with some old-timers in the States, Sheldon Gamberg, Tom Bowman, and now I'm working with Alexa Gilmore, I just find it to be particularly key, especially during this transition into these darker seasons, a key healing modality for me and for others. And I just wanted to reinforce the power.
Well, Bob, thanks so much for calling in. And one of my questions for you all, I think, has been answered by our last two callers, is how does the acupuncture community and the alternative medicine community work with the more traditional medicine community in Maine? And it sounds like pretty well.
Yeah, we've got so much to teach each other and learn from each other. One thing I'd say as far as going to a doctor for acupuncture, they often don't have the time. You know, as an licensed acupuncturist, you often spend an hour, you know, sometimes an hour and a half with the people.
That is true. I feel like plenty of doctors maybe do have some of the skills, but it isn't built into how their practice works. So that ends up being how we'll get referrals, is from those folks who want to have the acupuncture, you know, for the hour session that we have.
Great. I'm going to a nice email from Liz for you. Chris, Rocky Coast Acupuncture has me saying never say never. Having tried many modalities for health and wellness, I've recently committed to acupuncture for Lyme, immune system issues, and dermatitis. My many symptoms are in control. This after 2 months of doctors prescribing topical and oral steroids.
That was directly to us. That's
yeah,
so nice to hear. Yeah, you know, unfortunately, we see so much more Lyme than we have in the past. And I think, like a lot of complicated issues, having acupuncture on board can be a huge key to...
So not instead of...
It really depends. I mean, I guess for some people, it sounds like maybe she is saying for her, it may have worked that way. But I would say the majority of people that I see with Lyme, you're correct, not instead of, but in addition to.
On the line with us now, Naomi Skoglund. She is owner and licensed acupuncturist and herbalist at Six Branches Family Acupuncture. Naomi, thanks for calling in.
Thanks so much, Jennifer.
Tell us about
me. Hi, Chris and Zoe.
Hello.
Tell us about your practice. I understand you specialize in women's health.
I do, yes. My practice primarily focuses on women's health. We also treat a range of pain and emotional issues and a lot of the things that the other acupuncturists have brought up. I also have extensive training and experience in treating perinatal conditions, so prenatal and postpartum women, helping out with a lot of issues that can come up in that time period.
What have you found acupuncture to be helpful for in particular when you're talking about women's health and especially pre and postnatal?
With women's health, acupuncture is so helpful for painful periods, endometriosis, things that painful periods and premenstrual syndrome, things that people think of as kind of normal or common, but they actually don't need to suffer with them. So premenstrual irritability or mood swings. I think your other guests mentioned insomnia, anxiety, depression. And then during, it also is very helpful for infertility. During pregnancy, it can be helpful for nausea in the first trimester, heartburn in the second trimester, and other conditions that come up during pregnancy.
How do you explain acupuncture to your parents, your patients, why it works?
Yeah, I try to walk a line with my patients between explaining what's happening and not being too wonky and scientific, because there actually is a lot of scientific research now that does tell us a lot about how acupuncture is working. And I love that Helene Langevin was one of your guests because she's one of the premier researchers in the field of acupuncture. So what I tell my patients is that in our bodies, we have connective tissue called fascia that covers our body and connects along certain lines. A lot of people have heard of fascia at this point. But if not, I explain that your IT band connects to your hip, connects to your oblique muscles on your side. These lines of fascia are like a spider web. So if a bug lands in a spider web, the spider feels that vibration through the web and goes towards the bug. So with acupuncture, research has shown us that we are releasing tension along those lines of fascia, and we're also calling to your brain, like the spider, through electrical impulses and telling it to open up more blood flow along that line of fascia. So really we're working with your brain and blood flow. And with chronic pain, I find that we're really kind of retraining your brain around how it's holding stress in the body. So the brain responds with blood flow along those lines of fascia and sends your body's natural pain relieving mechanisms in that blood flow, endorphins and enkephalins. So that's what I explain to people when they're in my treatment room.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for calling in. That's Naomi Skoglund. She's the owner of Six Branches Family Acupuncture. Talking about fascia, there's, the big craze now, big movement toward doing body rolling, and that's all about your fascia as well, isn't it? This is all related. Go ahead, Chris.
Yes, absolutely. I find that a lot of my clients have started to do body rolling on chronic pain issues, and the acupuncture makes the rolling more effective. The rolling makes the acupuncture more effective because both are increasing blood flow, and when you're increasing blood flow, you're reducing pain and you're creating less inflammation. And one of the main ways that we all talk about fascia is plantar fasciitis, and that is a very common thing that people also find a lot of places where they go for usually experiencing pain relief or having help from the Western medicine, not a lot of help, and acupuncture can be quite effective for that.
E. Marie on Facebook says, anyone practicing acupuncture in Maine must hold a current license with the Board of Complementary Health Providers. I'm going to go to Tom in Lewiston. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. As usual, I really appreciate your show. I had been thinking about picking up acupuncture as something to include in my life. And I just wonder if your guest can speak to the use of acupuncture in aiding recovery from alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, and other addictions as a tool in that quest. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Sure, absolutely. There's actually a protocol called the NADA protocol, which is based on balancing the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. And it's just ear acupuncture. It's 5 needles in each ear. That's a real basic thing you can find in probably a community acupuncture setting. It's very, very helpful. It's developed to help people get rid of addictions.
I saw an article that migrants on the border, some volunteer acupuncturists were doing that very protocol.
Absolutely, yeah. It's used for trauma now, too.
Tom, thanks for your call. We are going to take another quick break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions about acupuncture. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Maine Dairy and Nutrition Council, inviting you to give the gift of nutrition to local families in need this holiday season. Learn how at milklife.com. By Wood & Sons, committed to providing high-quality, sustainably sourced wood pellets made in Maine. Learn more at woodandsons.co. And Breakwater, curiosity for life, offering exceptional day school and after-school options for toddlers through 8th grade. BreakwaterLearning.org.
I'm Greg Dalton. On the next Climate One, media coverage of climate has surged in the Trump era, but the climate story has long been a hard sell for readers, listeners, and journalists.
The topic comes up, you feel this spike of anxiety, and then you just look away, or engaging it is too challenging.
Climate in the media, then and now, on the next Climate One.
Coming up shortly after Maine Calling at 2 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio. Maine Public is pleased to be a media sponsor of the February 2020 Camden Conference. This year's theme is The Media Revolution, Changing the World, and will be moderated by Marketplace Morning Report's David Brancaccio. Tickets are now available, and you'll find the details at mainepublic.org.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, acupuncture as a mainstream treatment. My guests are both licensed acupuncturists, Chris Haskell with Rocky Coast Family Acupuncture and Toby Williamson with Good Hearth Eastern Medical Arts. And I pronounced that incorrectly before. It's Good Hearth Eastern Medical Arts. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Calling in now, Dr. Liz Strawbridge, who's a family practice and integrative medicine physician, and she's founder of the Good Medicine Collective. Dr. Strawbridge, thanks for calling in.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you. Hi, Chris. Hi, Toby.
Hi.
Hi, Liz.
Liz, we talked about this a little bit already in the program, but I have a feeling you want to build on it. As a family practice doctor, how do you believe Eastern and Western medicine approaches can be combined?
Yeah, well, I mean, as a family medicine practitioner, you are looking at the individual anyways within the context of their family, and then in the greater context of their community and their culture. And I feel like evidence-based Western medicine is one lens with which we kind of examine health and wellness. And it's predominantly, physiologic chemistry-based lens. What are the neurochemical changes that happen? And when I look at acupuncture and Chinese medicine, it's really based on thousands of years of observation of the human body in relationship to the emotions, to the seasons, to foods it's ingested. So it's really a different way of an entirely different lens of looking at how the human thrives. And at Good Medicine, I really am intrigued by all the different ways, all the different lenses that we can wear to look and identify what are the ways that a human being thrives, and specifically today in the 21st century. So being a family medicine practitioner with a huge toolbox of Western medicines, I was really intrigued on how to kind of broaden that toolbox. And I would say, as Toby has mentioned and others have mentioned on the calls, that acupuncture is just like one tiny sliver of this entire philosophy of a different way of experiencing health. And because we are sort of wearing our Western medicine lens, we like to look at what are the slivers, like what is the active ingredient, what is the active molecule, what is acupuncture sort of an another active tool that applies well to our Western medicine biomedical model, because it is a pretty specific tool. Mm. I like to use it as a way of really engaging the patient to take a more subtle approach to what is going on in their wellness journey, on their wellness journey. That I think in Western medicine we have pulled out a lot of big guns, you know, to navigate and deal with various types of pain and suffering. And in doing so, we have sort of lost the subtlety. And I feel like acupuncture is a beautiful way of reintroducing a person's ability to reconnect to the subtlety of what's going on in their body, to feel the energetic connections that are happening, to feel what happens when they experience the pain of the needles going in, and what does that feel like, and what's going on in their body, and then to experience what happens after, and potentially the relaxation response that Chris had mentioned. Well, so to really use it as a tool to get to know their bodies more.
Well, thanks so much for calling in. That was Dr. Liz Strawbridge. She's founder of Good Medicine Collective, and she's a family doctor focused on integrative health. We're going to go to a Facebook question. Haley says, people on Medicare always assume it isn't covered because original Medicare does not pay for acupuncture. But if they have an Advantage plan, they may have coverage for it. Also, they can ask about clinically nuanced benefits. Sometimes with a diagnosis like opioid dependency or chronic pain, acupuncture can be covered by insurance when it normally wouldn't be. And I'm so glad you posted this, Haley, because I wanted to talk about insurance coverage. It's really the case that some insurance company, some plans cover it and some don't, correct?
That's true. And then even some companies have different plans that cover it, and some plans that do cover it. But yes, in Medicare, there are certain plans that will cover it. I believe that United Healthcare has one option, Medicare Advantage plan, and Anthem, I believe, has one coming up too. But yeah, it's often covered by insurance. You should ask if you don't know.
And Chris, more than in the past?
Yes, I would say over the last 10 years here in Maine, more and more companies have added it. If you work for the state of Maine, the city of Portland, a few other, I think city of South Portland, you have acupuncture coverage. The people who work for Maine Med have acupuncture coverage, all the teachers. And now it's gone to other companies. Unum didn't used to have coverage. They now have coverage. USM didn't used to have coverage. They do now. IDEX. CICC, what's downtown, that company, CIEE?
Oh, CIEE, yes.
Is that,
I always
have trouble with that. But so there are quite a few now that didn't used to that do, and it's been great for people to realize, oh, I checked into this 5 years ago, and now I realize we have coverage.
We'll go to David calling from Kennebunkport. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer, and hi, Toby and Chris. I have had acupuncture in the past, really good practitioner in Kennebunk, and actually he wasn't able to help me at that time with back pain. But I'm wondering, I'm experiencing some GERD, heartburn type issues. I'm wondering if acupuncture might be a good treatment for that.
Yes, it can definitely help with heartburn. And you definitely be careful with the pharmaceuticals for heartburn. A lot of times people don't recognize that they're supposed to only be taking those pills for, you know, several weeks or a month at most, but they take them for years, and it can really, really wreak havoc in the body.
David, good luck to you. An email from Kate. Where are the nearest schools to become a licensed acupuncturist?
The nearest school is down near Boston, and it's the oldest school in the country. What is their name now? I think they changed their name.
Yeah, it's part of a pharmacology school now.
Yeah.
It's in Watertown, I believe.
Yeah, but that's the oldest school in the country. And personally, I've always felt that was unfortunate that Maine doesn't have an acupuncture school, because I know there's a lot of acupuncturists who would love to be a part of teaching and be a part of clinical work. And there are many schools, though, all over the country. They just tend to be in big cities.
Email from Abigail. I'm almost 70 and have rather bad insomnia. Can acupuncture help?
Yes, acupuncture can help. There's also a lot of herbs that are really, really great for insomnia, because often it's a blood deficiency issue. Your blood just isn't able to hold the energy at nighttime, and it's kind of leaking out and waking you up. So if you can build up your blood with herbs, it can really be helpful.
Okay, we'll go to Susan calling from Portland. Hi, Susan. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Susan Reed. I'm one of the founders of the Portland Veterans Acupuncture Clinic, which started in 2008. We're one of the oldest free acupuncture clinics for veterans and their families. It meets every Tuesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Congregation Beth Ham Synagogue in South Portland, 81 Westbrook Street. So that's one thing. And that uses the same treatment protocol someone mentioned earlier called the NADA protocol, was developed in New York City to treat recovery issues. And after 9/11, acupuncturists from Lincoln Hospital rushed down to Ground Zero and gave that same treatment to first responders who were suffering terrible shock and distress. And that same protocol is now used all over the world by Acupuncturists Without Borders. I'm a former national trainer for that organization as well. So that's one thing. The other thing I would like to add is my teacher, Dr. Worsley of England, used to say of acupuncture, acupuncture doesn't hurt, it helps.
Susan, thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to go to Chrissy, who's calling from Belfast. Hi, Chrissy. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks. I'm just calling because I've had acupuncture before and had quite a successful time with it. But what I wanted to mention is that one barrier to acupuncture can be cost. People have been mentioning insurance, and many times insurance doesn't cover it. And while it's lovely when insurance does cover it, another possibility is that there's a nationwide movement of community acupuncture. It's called the People's Organization of Community Acupuncture. It so happens that my college roommate started that little movement. But there are two such community acupuncture clinics in Maine. One is in Lewiston, the LA Community Acupuncture, and that's LA Community acu.com. And one in Verona Island, which is right near Bucksport, which coincidentally I just had an appointment with and turned on Maine Calling and thought, whoa, what's that all about? And that's Downeast Community Acupuncture is downeastca.com. And just wanted to put that out there for folks.
Well, Chrissy, yeah, thanks for calling. We also have an email from Dr. Sasha Rose about community acupuncture as well. So thank you for bringing that point up. Thank you very much, Chrissy. We will go to Michelle calling from Freeport. Hi, Michelle. Go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm Michelle Prince. I'm a pediatric orthopedic surgeon, and I have two things to share with my experience with acupuncture. First, with my patients. For years, I've been recommending acupuncture for patients with chronic pain, back pain, inflammatory pain, overuse injuries, but especially complex regional pain syndrome. I had one patient with a really memorable case. This kid had osteochondritis dissecans, which is sort of when the bone underneath joint cartilage crumbles. I recommended surgery. Mom of that patient preferred not to do it, went for acupuncture, and I'll be darned, that thing was better in just a few months' time. That could have been a spontaneous resolution, but that's when I wondered if I was even giving acupuncture enough credit. My second experience is my own. A couple of years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. One of the possible side effects of my chemotherapy regimen could have been peripheral neuropathy, which would be debilitating for a surgeon. Found some information on acupuncture and how it could attenuate or prevent that, and so I went for it at the Dempsey Center in Lewiston. Amazing. What an amazing resource. The space was tranquil and bright. My acupuncturists were wonderful. The service is free of charge for those with cancer. And the end of that story is I developed a little bit of numbness in one toe, and it eventually faded.
Oh, well, Michelle, thank you so much for calling in, and I'm so happy to hear the happy end of your story. I really appreciate it. And Toby, this is getting back to what you were talking about in the beginning, isn't it? That the kind of the concept of acupuncture is teaching your body to help heal itself.
Absolutely. And one way to think about that is that our body produces 2 million cells every second. So the body is constantly reorganizing and rebuilding itself. So acupuncture is just sort of a way to kind of direct that regeneration.
Okay, so we have all sorts of people calling and emailing in, and I'm not going to be able to get to them all, but we have a question here. Acupuncture for apnea, for sleep apnea. Yes, no?
I have worked with folks with sleep apnea, and I will say often it does not work. I don't know if you have had that experience.
Yeah, I'd say I haven't had much success with it, but there's a lot more to apnea. You know, you can really work with the lifestyle issues to, you know, lose weight and lots of other things.
Okay, and right. Now from Rhonda, is acupuncture beneficial for problem skin, dry patches of red rashes, allergy to wool, various foods?
Sure, it can be. Even for MRSA, you know, and that's a moxibustion thing. If you burn moxibustion around a MRSA patch, it will actually shrink up and go away.
Okay, so Cheryl in Portland's calling. I'm not going to go to the call because we're out of time, but I'm just going to ask PTSD. We're seeing acupuncture used more and more often, especially for veterans, but all kinds of PTSD?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The five-needle protocol that you mentioned, the NADA, is the most common treatment, and I have seen people, again, management is mainly what you're going after, but certainly people have had some profound effects with PTSD.
All right. And we're going to go to Jean calling from Wayne. Hi, Jean. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to say I've been getting acupuncture for 3 years. I have an incurable blood disorder that was treated at Mass General, and then I got shingles and I had to start dialysis because of it. But my acupuncturist in classical five element acupuncture in Hollow, Maine, she's like a therapist. And I go in there some days after dialysis, and I get 29 more needles, and I just love it. I mean, I cannot say enough about, and I grew up in a medical background, so I just wanted to thank you all today for all that you've done and for my acupuncturist.
Oh, Jean, thank you for being our final call this hour. A response, Chris?
That's wonderful to hear. I often hear in the treatment room also that people find the acupuncture experience to be very much like therapy and a body treatment. So a lot of people use it that way, and I think it can have a profound effect on helping people with a chronic issue like Jean just mentioned.
All right. Well, thank you, Jean, for that call, and thank you both for being here on Maine Calling. The voice you just heard, Chris Haskell. She practices at Rocky Coast Family Acupuncture. Toby Williamson is also here in the studio with me. He owns Good Hearth Eastern Medical Arts in Rockland. Lucy Suchek ran the board today. You can find past editions of Maine Calling, as well as links and resources mentioned on the program at mainecalling.org. And I fibbed. Lucy Suchek did not run the board. Sandra Harris ran the board. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.